I've been opening these meetings with something that is done still today in Washington and is done, it used to be done in Akron. I don't know if they still use the back to basic courses, but the 9 steps that may direct men to such people wherever possible, except when to do so, whether to them or others. The step is described in the big book on pages 76 to 80. The directions for taking step 9 are on page 76, paragraph 3, lines 6 through 11, and I'm going to read paragraph 3. 1, 2, 3. And it says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends. We made them when we took inventory in step 4. We subject ourselves to drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage we have done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which have accumulated out of our efforts to live on a life on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember that we agreed at the beginning that we would go to any length for victory over alcohol. That is the directions, but there's another thing in the 8th and 9th step that is a prayer that I believe is very important before going making an amends. When I first got here, we didn't talk about amends today. I didn't use it, and I made amends, and we'll talk about that. In the big book on page 79, it said, we reminded ourselves, we decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. And it says, we ask that we be given the strength and direction to do the right thing no matter what the personal consequences. I ask that of God on a daily basis today. And that's real important. And the big book and the 12 and 12 describes many different types of amends. There's the kind of amend that you can make immediately, face to face. There are some that arrest the financial restitution. There are some to people you can write an honest letter. There are the other types of amends that you can't make to anybody. Direct and indirect amend, my sponsor used to call it. One of the first amends I had to make is when I first got in here. I was about 2 weeks sober. I was living in a halfway house. And everybody had this thing called the big book, and I wanted one. And honestly, I figured if I butted them up the right way, I'd manipulate one out of them. He said, what's the matter? You forgot how to steal? So he said, you can make it up in your 9th step. So I did that. I stole my first big book. That's what I'm saying. Because I didn't have the money to get it. And the indirect amends for some of the things we'll talk about today is when a newcomer comes in the room, if the group don't give them one, I go out and buy one for them because I know what it's like to sit in that place so they don't have to practice a bad habit that I had when I got here stealing, which is 6 and 7 step work as well. The 12 and 12 has a few points. It says good judgment. I didn't have that at the beginning either, and I'll talk about early amends. A careful sense of timing, courage, and prudence. These are the qualities we shall need when we take step 9. It says, we made the list of people we harmed, reflected carefully upon each instance, have tried to possess ourselves with the right attitude in which to proceed. We see that making of a direct amends divides those who we should approach into several classes. There will be those who ought to be dealt with just as soon as we become reasonably confident that we can maintain our sobriety. For me, that was my family, because that was where I did the most damage. And to my good friends. There will be those whom we can only make partial restitution. That's financial for me. Some things have to be financial. So at least please can disclose to them or others may do more harm than good. There are those other cases which action ought to be deferred. That's an important one. And still others which by their very nature, the situation shall never be able to make direct personal contact at all. So that tells us there are 4 types of amends, or 4 areas of amends. Most of them begin by making certain kinds of direct amends from the day we joined Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor told me that was my amend to myself, and that's as much as he wants to hear about what I owe myself. When I come in these rooms and I don't drink, that's as good of an amendment as I can make. And that's, I believe that today. Other people tell you they put themselves first on their amends list because they did all this other stuff. To me, not drinking is my amends to myself. Because by not drinking, it gives me the ability to live life on my terms. And that's an opinion. That's not out of the book. The moment we tell our families that we are really going to try the program, the process has begun. In this area, there is seldom any question of timing or caution. We want to come to the door shouting the good news after coming from the first meeting, or perhaps after we have finished reading the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We usually want to sit down with some member of the family and readily admit the damage we have done by our drinking. That's a real dangerous thing to do when we first get here. Because if I told my mother everything I did when I first, getting here, I am sure the process wouldn't have worked as well as practicing deference in that particular case, because I did a lot of harm. Almost always we want to go further and admit other defects that have made us hard to live with. This will be very different occasion, and sharp contrast with those hangover mornings when we alternated between revealing ourselves and blaming the family and everyone else. First it's my fault, then it's your fault. That's not what this is about. For our troubles at this first sitting, at this first sitting, it is necessary that we only make a general admission of our defects. It may be unwise at this stage to rehash certain harrowing experiences. Good judgment will suggest that we ought to take our time. Very important. We may be quite willing to reveal the very worst. We must be sure to remember that we cannot buy our own peace of mind at the expense of others. And I don't know anybody that I've ever met that doesn't want to make it right, and they don't care how they tear somebody down. The 12 and 12 at another point says we don't have the right to belittle someone to make ourselves look good at their expense. And that's what we're doing, and that's in an earlier step. So I have to remember that when I go to make an amend, it's not about me looking good. It's about me cleaning up the mess. We want to rest on our laurels. Now, I'm willing to make the amend, but I don't have to see this guy because, I got time to do this. It doesn't say wherever possible. It says whenever possible. And there's instances that God put people in my life to do that, even when I don't want to. The temptation to skip the more humiliating and dreaded meeting that still remain may be great. We will often manufacture plausible causes, rationalizations, for dodging these issues entirely, or we may just procrastinate, telling ourselves the time is not yet, when actually we have already passed up many a fine chance to right a serious wrong. Let's not talk prudence while practicing evasion. The big book, I'm going to go back and forth on this one because I just like this step so much, and I had so much fear doing it that I like to use the books. It says that the alcoholic is a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted, selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel as a man is unthinking when he says sobriety is enough. So just not drinking ain't enough. He's like the farmer who came out of the cyclone cellar to find his homeroom. To his wife he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it great the wind just stopped blowing?" Yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful numbing that we're sorry won't fit the bill at all. I always like to say when I used to tell my sponsor I was sorry, he said, "You sure are. Say you're wrong." So I can't use those old things that I did. It's about change. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being careful not to criticize them. It's real easy to me sit down and tell my mother what she did wrong in me growing up. It was real hard for me to sit down with my mother and tell her what I did wrong when I was growing up. But that's what I had to do. And that was the whole process in itself. Their defects may be glaring, but chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. And I'm going to look at my part on it. And it says, we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation of our Creator to show the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And then it talks about the spiritual life is not a theory. And it says, we go to clean off our side of the street. And that's what this is about, clean off my side of the street. Last week we talked about the various lists, the financial list that I carried, the people that I hurt and harmed, that I knew about at that time when I did my first 9 step. A lot of them I didn't want to do. And the last paragraph in the 9 step gave me my answer. It says, above all, we should try to be absolutely sure that we are not delaying because we are afraid. The biggest fear I had about the humanity was fear itself, that somebody was not going to like it, or they would tell me how I screwed up and it was going to be worse than it was. 10 out of 10 cases, it was where my head was. Not all of them worked out positively, but all of them worked out the way they were supposed to. For the readiness to take full consequence of our past acts and to take responsibility for the well-being of others at the same time is the spirit of step 9. I didn't want to take responsibility for my mess ups. You know, I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm going to talk about a couple of men's, and I will talk about first the easy ones. The easiest one was I had 30 days of sobriety, and I picked up a phone to a friend that I had stolen everything from. To this day, we're still friends, amazing as that is, and I took all her. I was living with her, I took all of her, she let me live with her because I had nowhere else to live except on the street at the time. I took all of her marriage stuff, her silverware and personal stuff, and I went out and I hocked it. You took care of my alcohol and my drug addiction. That's what I did. And I got sober and I was at a 9-step meeting at 10 o'clock one morning, and I heard this great thing that we make amends as fast as we can. Listen to the people in the room, you can get crazy. And I went and I called her up. And she accepted the amend. The amend that she told me is, you don't owe me anything as long as you stay sober. And she's not in this program. And she still does whatever she does recreationally. She's not one of us. And I was just so amazed how easy that was that I decided the next one was going to be a friend that I took $30 camera from and wanted to make the amend. To this day, we don't talk. He told me, you know, if you can do that to me, there's no trust. And I was devastated. Here, I owe over $5,000, which I was forgiven. And $30, what's wrong with him? Doesn't he get it? So I went to my sponsor and he said, what step are you on? I said, well, we are doing step 1. I thought, he said, why are you doing step 9? He said, we live all the 12 steps in our life daily. We take baby steps and you ain't ready to take those baby steps. You will make amends when we sit down and we discuss how you're going to make those amends. I can tell you lots of stories about amends, some good, some bad. I had in my list, there was one person, and I shared this last week, who I definitely, under all conditions, was not going to make an amend to. Even though I really didn't play a part in it. He came to my house with an ex-girlfriend of mine. They were both drunk. My wife was about to have my son at the time, and the devastation of course, she almost lost a child, and I was angry. And for 12 years, even in recovery, I was still plotting his death. When I got to that 9-step, my sponsor said, besides the ones you're never going to make, put the one all the way in the left column under any and all conditions you'll never make. So I wrote that, and as I shared last week, I had another friend of mine whose son was shot, and I called to send my condolences to him, and lo and behold, the other guy was there on the phone, and I got on my knees, and I said that little 8th and 9th step prayer, and out of my mouth came something that wasn't for me. If at any time in the past I've done you any harm, I ask for your forgiveness. I was real painful. But I did it. I did it in spite of myself. And we talked. And I know that we'll probably never see each other again. But if I do, I know I can look him square in the eye because I know my side of the street is clean. He said it's very nice, and I'm glad you're doing your recovery thing. And it was just very general. And it wasn't a good amend. It wasn't a bad amend. It was just cleaning up the record. So God put that in front of me. Somebody flew down from New York, wasn't on my amends list. And in my active addiction, I had a Saab and I took a $700 radio out of his car and I sold it. Nothing that most of us didn't do, I know. He came down, and when I realized it, he walked into Denny's as a waiter. And I said, well, you know, I'm getting off of work in a half hour. I'd like you to come over where I'm living and I'd like to sit down and talk to you. And I prayed on it. I called my sponsor, and my sponsor said, go for it. You know what to do. And I went over to the backyard and we sat and we talked and I made the amends to him, and he didn't want financial restitution. He knew. Most of the amends I make, the people already know. There are those are the amends that I can make as the process went on. The family, my sister, bring her into this now. My sister I sat down with, I talked to her about what was going on, and I was telling her what she heard, and it was what I was telling her, is that you're telling me that you want me to behave in a manner that I didn't know I was supposed to behave, and you never told me. Well, I got this right? And that's pretty much what it was, because she was a certain kind of person growing up. She was a tomboy, and she became this, she became this middle class person who did all these homely things, and that's not how I pictured it. And I know, I wanted to be the tomboy that I remembered as a kid. And I said, that's right. She says, you know, you're absolutely right. There is no amendment. I've always loved you. I just didn't understand what was going on. I still don't understand what was going on. Every year comes anniversary time, which mine's coming up. She says, oh, you're graduating again. And I say, no, I'm not. But that's her slant on the program. And, we have a great relationship. My first 2 years of recovery, I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't be around her. I couldn't see her. She just irritated me. And a problem in the 10-step tells me, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, that anytime, anywhere, I see something wrong with anybody else, the problem is me. And I was told to practice that in earlier steps, and I practiced that with her. We ended up living together for over a year before my mom died. My mother didn't want to hear anything. I was cured. I was okay. We're fully returned. But I sat down and told her it was important for my recovery that I do this. Those were the amends I could make. Then there came, and then of course the list of people as they popped up, God saw fit to put certain people in my life, other people I reached out to, some by phone, some in person. And the list from whatever it was has been minimalized. I also was told to keep plenty of space on the bottom of my list because I am going to be needing to make amends in recovery. And that is very true. I've made a couple of amends so far, a couple this year as a matter of fact. Because my behavior with everybody is not always appropriate. I'm still human, thank God. Then comes the other kind of amend. There comes the amend of the people we can't see or are no longer with us. One of the amends, indirectly, I was told to make was to my children. When I got sober, I did all the right things, and I was told I'd see my children and speak to them, and this, that, and the other thing was going to happen. Of course, God saw his infinite wisdom to change that whole plan to his way of thinking, which sure wasn't mine. And I was asked to legally give up my children, which was a battle I went on for a year. I sent letters. Some came back ripped. Some never got to them, I'm sure. And I was suggested that I make a God box and to write letters. And this is going back to my children someday. This is my living legacy. To my amend. I don't know what they're going to do if and when I ever meet them. I believe I will. I've watched that restitution happen in Alcoholics Anonymous many, many times. Some come back with good results. Some don't come back with good results. The bottom line is my side of the street has to be clean. The amend that I had to make to my children was I was asked to write a letter, and I did, and I got it back. And now I wrote it and mailed it to myself. I have a box. Started off with a little metal tin. I have a cardboard box put away for them. Little gifts, little things that, letting them know I think about them. I write them pretty regularly, although they haven't seen it in 8 years here that I've been around, almost 8 years that I've been around next month, but I continue to do that. So the other part of that amend that I was told to do by my sponsor is anytime I see a woman come in the room with a little baby, that I should go over and babysit her. And let them enjoy the meeting, because I can always get to another meeting, and it might be the only meeting. I'll take off. I've done it before. I don't have a problem with that. That it might be the only meeting that person may be able to be at, and that in itself is a process of me being the father I never was to my own kid. I was also told whenever I do this step, and I hate to do this, but it's painful, but it's something that I need to do. On November 10th, I wrote my children a letter. Because someday they're going to know what I was about, and I was very newly sober. I was 9 months into sobriety, and in 9 months I was on my next step. That's pretty much where I was with my sponsor. And this is a letter that I was hoping to share because we don't know what God's plan is, and he said, you never know who you're going to help. So this is what I wrote November 10th, 1994, to my children. They're Robert and Cassie. It has been a long time since I spoke with you or seen you. I know that your mother told you that I was sick. It is about time that you knew the truth about your father. I have a disease. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. It's a disease that makes you withdraw from everybody and everything you care about. You do things that hurt the people you love the most. You may not believe this, but you two are the most important people in my life. You both have been since you were born. I know your mother never said anything bad about me. I don't know if that's true. Practicing, guys. Not that well yet, thanks. I also know that she has been a real good mom, and she really was my favorite. This letter is very painful to write because of my shame, disappointment, and fear. I am working hard at getting better, and I will have to work hard every day for the rest of my life to see that this disease does not control me again. Robert, when you were born, I had the opportunity to share with you. I fed you, changed you, played with you, and put you to sleep at night. I did these things a good father was supposed to do. I remember your first Christmas, our first Christmas together, the training under the tree, the times we spent together, and your birthday too. They were happy times, filled with love. I treasure in my memory those times I shared with you. Cassie, you were not well when you were born. My daughter was born with a lung, heart, and blood disease, which I blame myself for. And it's not the case. It's just the way she was born. And 10 days she was in an incubator, and we weren't sure if she was going to live. And I had to separate her from her mother. I had to make a choice. And the choice was that the baby's life counted, and did a lot of havoc in my relationship with my ex-wife. I'm sure that didn't help it any. When you were born, I had to make a decision to move you away from Mom to make sure you got the medical help you needed. It broke my heart to see you attached tubes and wires. I prayed for your health, and I said I never prayed when I was out there. It shows you how about why that was. I prayed for your health, and you got it. It was the hardest 14 days of my life up to that time. I love you very much. Let me make this clear. I love you both, not one more than the other. Things change as things often do in life. Mom and I broke up, and I carried a lot of pain. I'm sure that she did too. When I married Mom, I fell very much in love with her. I was not able to deal with our separation. I was less able to deal with our divorce. The pain I caused and carried led me to self-medicate, and I took it to the point of oblivion. This self-medicating is part of my disease. I saw both of you as much as I could. The pain I had each time I brought you home made me want to escape more. Not because of the two of you or Mom, it was the things I could not share, such as my hurt and my pain, and this went on for about a year. The only things I remember are the good times we had, like visiting the Statue of Liberty, one of our last times together. One incident I remember when I was back in my house in Brooklyn. I actually lived in a house at one time. It was amazing. We just came back from the pizzeria, and Cassie ran out in the middle of the street. I hit you on your bottom, Cassie. It was not just a tap for doing wrong. It was a hard smack. I remember that Robert said to me, "Daddy, I hope you don't hit me like that. You hit harder than Mommy. I'll be good." Cassie, I could not stop your crying. You told me you hated me. And you went then you went to bed. You would not speak to me for that night. I was brokenhearted. After that, I was unable to face either of you. Not because either of you did wrong. The truth is, Cassie, you paid for the pain and resentment I had for Mom. Because of my love for her and not being able to be together, frankly, I gave up. I didn't want to deal with it anymore. I was becoming my father, being there, but not being able to show my feelings. It was not fair for you. Excuse me. It was not fair for you two to carry my hurts because Mom and I weren't together. I was drinking and drugging, and the more I did this, the more I lost. That's the nature of the disease. I lost everything I had. The two of you, your mom, my sister, my Aunt Gail, my brother-in-law, my other sister, my uncle, my friends, and my job. That's sad because I cheated myself out of the life I wanted. I also wanted to die. I went to Conifer Park to get better. While I was there, my mom was very sick. It was during this time that I realized I needed to start rebuilding the bridge to the people I love. It was after I spoke with Mom the first time in 5 years that we made a decision to call your mom, meaning my mom. I had to change the bad things I felt and correct the wrongs I did somehow. Only time and recovery will do this. All of the negative feelings and resentments I have for you and Mom are gone, I know your mom is good and forgiving, just like mine. I love her and I will always will. All I wish for her is the happiness and our friendship. And I haven't gotten the friendship part. I'm sure she's happy about that. As for you, Robert and Cassie, I ask your forgiveness for the hurt and pain I caused you. While it is true that being from my addiction, that doesn't excuse me from the actions of my behavior. So I cannot blame my addiction for my behavior. I'm still responsible for those. I pray to God that with time I might rebuild the relationship, the love and trust and the honesty. I hope I can share the feeling I denied all of us. Hate reading that letter. It's always a tough thing for me to say that my children never saw that letter. It sits in a box with a bunch of other letters. It's an amend that in God's time, he will see fit that whether it happens while I'm alive or dead, they may get to understand what their father is about. Not the person I used to be, but the person I became. That's one kind of amend. The other amend I made was when my sister, who died while I was active, and I love to tell this story, this is a happy ending. I had to write a letter, similar one, and address it to her and one to my father at the grave because of my inappropriate behaviors and my addictions. And what happened was that it was a Saturday, I was living in the halfway house and it was pouring, and I said, my sponsor said, I got to do this today. I had these helium-filled balloons in the car, and we were driving out to the cemetery, and I gave them 9-month coins. I buried them well and spoke to them. I talked about my thing, like not showing up on my sister's 25th anniversary because I was getting loaded in 2 weeks later. She was dead. That was a tough one for me, and she was more my mom than my mom. So I had a lot of guilt and shame and remorse, a whole bunch of stuff that I had to deal with. And I sat at that graveside and I had that conversation, and I wrote that letter, finished that letter, and I sealed it and I buried the coin, and I let it go. And somehow or other I knew that things were okay. They're just okay. I can't explain it. I talk about the men that I made with my mom before she was dying, because I already did a 9-step with her, and being a good alcoholic, remember we talked about garbage truck running down the street and pulling something back? I ran down and grabbed some garbage out of there, and I was talking to my sponsor. He says, it sounds like you're looking for unresolved issues. I said, that's it. Because that lit a light bulb. It's like a 2x4. So he suggested I go to the hospital where she was and asked her, and I took somebody from the program, and I did. And she said to me, you came back as a full son. You don't owe me any more amends. There are no unresolved issues. And I went and told my sponsor, and I was so thrilled. I said, how did you know about it? He said, I had to do this with my brother. And knowing that, he told me the rest of that amend would be the best son I could do. And I was there for her. And I helped her during her trying times when my sister, too, and the family came together. So some things come together and some things don't. And some amends work out the way they're supposed to and some amends don't. But the thing is, am I willing to go to anyone? And I haven't shied away from any of them. I've taken the toughest ones on first because they were the toughest. And that's what my sponsor really wanted me to do, one that I didn't want to make. God put in front of me, and if I didn't do it then, I probably would never have done it. And I got okay to make amends with a lot of other people that way. Some of the financial restitution I'm still making. As I said last week, I came in here owing, $593,000. Today I owe about $12,000. Don't ask me where it all went when I made $2 an hour, how I got it cleared up. It just is amazing. Last 2 weeks ago, I got hit with a $48,000 bill from the state of New York for children that I'm not even mine. I gave them up legally after a year battle to do the right thing for them. That was a tough thing. But those are things we do. We each do it a different way and we each get different guidance in it. I will tell you that the 9-step to me is probably the toughest step I have to take. And an example of how it works today is I've been dealing with, as a few people know, the doctors and insurance companies, and the way I used to be on the phone and what I used to be like after I got off the phone. I was really the tornado, and today I don't yell and scream, and I don't know how that happened. I mean, I'm still amazed that I haven't lost my cool in the last 3 days. It's nothing I've done, it's everything that's been given to me by people in rooms like these, and through the process of trusting in something I don't understand. It's called faith. It's called faith. I have a lot of faith today, and I walk with God constantly. I know when I'm not. That little barometer inside of me tells me something ain't right, and I need to adjust it. And those are the gifts of the 10 step, that little barometer. And we'll talk about that next week. I went longer than I wanted to, and we're going to pass the baskets. It's enough out of me. This now becomes your meeting.